Psalm 107, these are God's words. I give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of Yahweh say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They cried out to Yahweh in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to Yahweh for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death found an affliction in irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to Yahweh for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to Yahweh for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. We're going to be taking 2 weeks to cover this psalm. The psalm gives its theme in the first verse. I give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy, and the word mercy there is chesed, or steadfast love, endures forever. And then in verse 33, whoever is wise will observe these things, they will understand the chesed, although here it's translated loving kindness, but in both places it's the covenant love, the steadfast love. They will understand the chesed of Yahweh. And so the Lord presents his covenant love, his steadfast love, in history, especially in the history of his dealings with his people, but also in how he brings even men who are not from among his people to an end of themselves and gathers them to himself. And so we have the first three instances of this refrain that you heard in verse 8 and in verse 15 and in verse 21. Oh, that men would give thanks to Yahweh for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And there'll be one more of those next week in verse 31. But the first three focus especially on his dealings with Israel, and the last one comes in the context of his dealings with men more generally, or from the nations, whom he will gather in among his people. So we're especially thinking this week about how God's chesed, God's steadfast love, is demonstrated in his dealings with Israel. And we see in the several refrains here, several common features. One is that the Lord saves his people. This is the focus. Verse 2 tells us, let the redeemed of Yahweh say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And then there are multiple deliverances described as it goes along. So the focus especially is on the Lord's saving. But what is he saving us from? How does this saving become How is this saving initiated? And how did we end up in the situation in which we needed the saving? All of these questions, all of these factors in the Lord saving his people, end up exalting or praising his mercy, his love, his faithfulness, in his saving us. What he saves us from are repeated distresses. We see one distress in verses 4 and 5, wandering in the wilderness, hungry, thirsty, etc. We see another distress in verse 10. They're sitting in darkness and the shadow of death in affliction and irons. And then he saves them out of that darkness and death and chains in verse 14. And then the last instance of what he saves them from, we see in verse 18. They're brought so low that they're on the doorstep of death and they don't even really care to eat food. They, you know, they're so near death that they've despaired of everything else. And so the Lord saves his people, and he saves them out of repeated distress and great distress. This helps us understand one of the purposes of application for which this psalm has been given us. Not just that we would praise and thank him because his steadfast love endures forever. Indeed, we ought to and we will, and that is the ultimate end. But especially when we are in times of trouble, we need to remember that the Lord only brings his people into trouble, brings his elect into trouble, when he is going to bring them out of trouble and when he is going to bring them through trouble, that the end is praising him for how he has saved them. So that when we are discouraged and cast down, we do with ourselves, like Psalm 42 and 43 train us to do, we apply this reality that we will yet praise him. And so we say, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you so discouraged? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him. I know how this ends, and because I know how it ends, I know what the main point is. It's not even my being sanctified and holy, which is necessary for me at last to have God as my treasure and God as my reward. Without holiness, we won't see the Lord. But the great reason is that God will be praised for what he has done. Praised for making me holy, praised for saving me out of the trouble. So why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you so discouraged? Hope now in God, for I will praise him. He is my help. He is my God. And you have that refrain in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. And so we have this refrain. Oh, that men would give thanks to Yahweh for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. And so whatever trouble we are in, we remember God has done wonderful works, like saving men out of bigger troubles than the one I'm in. God has done this before, and he has done it unto the end of his being thanked and his being praised. So he saves his people. He saves them out of repeated and great distresses. And the deliverance is occasioned by their crying out to him. The Lord is a Lord who uses means. And in this particular case, the means of crying out to him praises him, exalts him, as Psalm 65 teaches, as the God who hears and answers prayer. And so we have multiple instances here. Verse 6, verse 13, verse 19. Verse 6, they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. Verse 13, they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. Verse 19, they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. And so when you're in trouble, one of the things the Lord wants you to do is to cry out to him. And all of those wicked reasons in your heart for not crying out to him, you are to answer with Bible truth. I don't feel like it. Well, you ought to feel like it. He doesn't listen to me anyway. He absolutely listens to you. There's no hope. He is your hope. So whatever it is that hinders our crying out to him, let us learn to reject those wrong thoughts, those wrong feelings, and take our troubles and as occasions of crying to Him, of praying to Him. He gives us distresses so that we will cry out to Him in our distresses, or He gives us trouble, to use the word that is in the first line of verse 6, 13, and 19. He gives us trouble so that we'll cry out to Him in the trouble, because that is the instrument by which He saves us out of our distress. One of the reasons many people are prolonged in their trouble or their distress is they don't see that the Lord has ordained to do things in response to prayer. He's inviting us to participate in His wonderful works. Now, we don't have wonderfulness to contribute, so what do we contribute? Neediness. Distress. We say, I am distressed. I am helpless. And God answers to show that He is not distressed. And He is almighty. And He is compassionate. He listens. He hears. He is much glorified by responding to our prayers. And how amazing is it that the God of heaven hears the cries of His people on earth? So that none of us are big, we are all small, none of us are great. The God who hears Daddy when he cries, hears Sophia when she cries, because He is glorified as our help and our God in both cases. And so He is glorified by the greatness of the distress from out of which He saves us. He's glorified by the mechanism or the occasion, the trigger of His people crying out and of His answering. He's even glorified by the cause of many of our distresses being our own sin. This we see especially in the latter two instances or cycles of this refrain in verse 11 and in verse 17. The darkness and death that verse 10 and 14 describe are things that He had given them to humble them, verse 12, because why, verse 11? They had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. And then this despairing even to the point of being on the doorstep of death in verse 18, why and how did that come from? Or why and how did that come? Verse 17, fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, were afflicted, were brought down, were humbled. And so sometimes we don't feel like we can pray to God for help when we're in trouble that is actually the consequence of our own sin. And we know that we're being chastened, and we know that we're being punished. And yet the Lord presents to Himself to us as the one who forgives sinners, who delivers us out of things that we have brought upon ourselves. He's not like a hard-hearted man who might have helped someone who was in trouble, but happened to know that they got themselves into that trouble and says, well, good, they deserve it. We do deserve it, but He has compassion upon us, even to the point that ultimately He takes upon Himself at the cross what we deserved, in order to satisfy the greatness of His mercy towards those who are the objects of His redeeming love. And He takes upon Himself what we deserve, and He saves us out of it. And then He gives us examples like this, multiple times in the history of His dealing with His people in the Bible, where they brought the trouble on their own heads, and they cried out to Him, and He pitied them even for the trouble that they had brought upon themselves, so that we may be encouraged if we find ourselves in a similar place, that this is the character of our covenant God, of our Redeemer, that even in things that we deserve, that we have brought upon ourselves, He hears us when we cry out to Him, so that His nearness and His forgiving and His power and His wisdom, all of these things, all of these aspects, attributes of our God are glorified in His wonderful works to the children of men. And so He teaches us to give thanks and to praise Him even when we're not in the trouble, so that when we do come into it, we have been trained by praising him to remember his character, to give proper due to those attributes of his character that will encourage us to cry out to him and be delivered. So the Lord give us to be those who praise him for his great works, who praise him for his wisdom and his power, his nearness, his listening to his people, his mercy to forgive, and having been helped by the Spirit to know him and these things about him as we praise him, we will be helped by the Spirit to lay hold of him as he has presented himself to us, and cry out to him and be delivered. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for declaring yourself to us in your word, especially declaring yourself to us in your Son, our Lord Jesus, and his saving work. And we pray, Lord, for the help of your Spirit, that he would apply to us this portion of your word in the knowledge of your Son, that we might grow accustomed in heart and mind to giving you thanks and praising you for your goodness, for your wonderful works, and to tell out of your redeeming us, so that we may be strengthened in the knowledge of you and your attributes, in order properly to lay hold of you in our times of distress. So help us by your Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.